بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين محترم بھائیو دوستو بزرگو اللہ کا بڑا فضل ہے اور اللہ کا بڑا کرم ہے کہ اللہ عز و جل نے ہمیں رمضان تک پہنچا دیا. ہمارے جو اکابرین تھے وہ یہ دعا کرتے رہتے تھے کہ اللہ ہمیں رمضان تک صحیح سلامت پہنچا دے تاکہ ہم رمضان کی جو برکات ہے اس کا فائدہ اٹھا سکے. بہرحال اصل میں ہم اپنی زندگی اللہ کی اطاعت کے لیے اللہ نے ہمیں پیدا فرمایا ہے اور اس کے ساتھ ساتھ ہمارے یہاں ایک بڑی کشمکش ہے, ایک بڑی دو برعکس ہے کہ دنیا میں رہنا بھی ہے اور اللہ کی عبادت بھی کرنی ہے, شیطان بھی ہے اور نفس بھی ہے. تو یہ کشمکش چلتا رہتا ہے جب تک کہ انسان پیدا ہو قبر تک یہ کشمکش چلتا رہتا ہے. لیکن اللہ بڑے کرم ہے, اللہ کا بڑا کرم ہے اور اللہ بڑے رحیم ہے, رحمان ہے کہ اللہ عز و جل نے ہمیں ایک مہینہ ایسا دیا کہ یہ ساری کشمکش ہم ختم کر سکتے ہیں اور اس مہینے میں اللہ کی اطاعت سے واپس آ سکتے ہیں. اصل میں یاد رکھنے کی بات ہے کہ دنیا کیا ہے, جو دنیا جو ہے جو اللہ نے ہمیں عطا فرمائی ہے یہ کون سی چیز ہے, یہ کیا ہے؟ تو پھر اللہ عز و جل خود فرماتے قرآن کریم میں اعلموا انما الحیاۃ الدنیا لعب و لہو کہ بے شک یہ جو دنیا جو ہے یہ ایک کھیل کود ہے, کھیل کود وزینہ اور ایک زینت ہے, وتفاخر بینکم اور اپنے درمیان میں یعنی ایک دوسرے سے کہنا کہ ہم اس میں بڑے ہو گئے ہم اس میں بڑے گئے, وتکاثر فی الاموال والاولاد اور ایک دوسرے سے بچے اور مال میں زیادتی کرنا کہ بھائی میرے پاس زیادہ بچے ہیں میرے پاس زیادہ مال ہے, یہ دنیا ہے. پھر اللہ اسے اگلے آیت میں فرماتے ہیں یہ تو ایک ایسا بیوقوف انسان ہوگا جو اس دنیا سے پیچھے پڑتا ہے کہ ہم نے تو ایسا کر دیا ہے جیسے کہ کسی نے اچھا فصل پیدا کیا, اچھی فصل ڈال دی, پھر جب ونٹر کا وقت ہو گیا اور ایک بڑی ہوا نے اس فصل کو لے لیا تو سارا ختم, یہ ساری محنت ایک سیکنڈ میں ختم ہو گئی. تو اسی لیے اللہ عز و جل فرما رہے کہ بھائی یہ اتنی ساری محنت کی اور ایک جھٹکے میں موت آئی, ختم, سب کچھ ختم. اور یہ اصل میں بات یہ بھی ہے کہ یاد رکھو کہ یہ دنیا کا ایک قانون ہے کہ اللہ فرماتے کہ شروع ہوتا ہے کھیل کود سے, تو بچہ کھیل کود سے ہی شروع ہوتا ہے, تھوڑا سا بڑا ہوتا ہے تو پھر وہ کیا کرتا ہے کہ میری زینت کیسی ہے, میرا کپڑا کیسا ہے, میں کیسا ہوں, میں اچھا لگ رہا ہوں نہیں لگ رہا ہوں, میری گاڑی کیسی ہے, یہ ساری چیز اس کے اوپر آتی ہے. پھر اس کے بعد ایک اور یعنی ایک اور مرحلہ ہوتا ہے کہ ایک دوسرے سے فخر کرتے میرے پاس اتنے گھر ہے, میرے پاس اتنے مال ہے, میرے پاس اتنے بچے ہیں. پھر ایک اور مرحلہ آتا ہے کہ میرے پاس اتنے بچے ہیں اور میرے بچے کے پاس اتنا مال ہے. اسے کہ خود تو یعنی بڑھاپے پہ ہو گیا تو بڑھاپے میں خود ابھی نہیں کما سکتا ہے تو فخر دوسری جو کرتا ہے کہ بعد میرے بچوں کے پاس اتنا ہے. تو اللہ فرماتے کہ یہ دنیا ہے, یہ دنیا ہے, دنیا میں کوئی بے شک اس میں رہنا ہے, لیکن اللہ عز و جل نے ہمیں رمضان المبارک کا مہینہ اس لیے عطا کیا کہ یہ جو 11 مہینے ہیں, آپ نے کوئی ہٹ گیا دین کی طرف سے, کوئی تھوڑا سا ہٹ گیا اللہ کی یاد سے, تو واپس آ جائے اللہ کی یاد سے, اس لیے کہ اللہ کی یاد اصل چیز ہے, باقی سب چیز فروع ہی ہے, یعنی ہوتی رہتی ہے, اللہ کی یاد ہی اصل ہے. اسی لیے رمضان, ابھی سوال جو پیدا ہوتا ہے کہ رمضان کیا ہے, تو اسی لیے اللہ یہی فرما رہے کہ رمضان وہ مہینہ ہے کہ آپ اللہ کے خزانوں سے اللہ کا تقوی ادا کر سکتے ہیں, یعنی ہر امر میں اور ہر منکرات میں ہر امر آپ ادا کر سکتے ہیں اور ہر چیز جو اللہ نے منع فرمائی اس سے روک سکتے ہیں. یہ تقوی ہے, یہی ہم کہتے ہیں, جس کو ہم کہتے ہیں اپنی زبان میں تقوی, کہ اللہ کے حکم کو ادا کرنا اور اللہ کے جو معاصی ہے جو گناہ ہے اس کو چھوڑنا, یہ ہے, یہی ہے تقوی. اسی لیے نو کوئک کوشچن, آئی ایم چینجنگ ٹو انگلش ناؤ, ا کوئک کوشچن دیٹ ارائزز, دیٹ واٹ از رمضان؟ سمبڈی ول سے وی لیو آور نارمل لائف بٹ ایٹ دا سیم ٹائم وی فاسٹ ڈیورنگ دا ڈے اینڈ وی پرے صلاح ڈیورنگ دا نائٹ, دیٹ از رمضان. دو امام بخاری رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ ریلیٹس ان صحیح, ہی ریلیٹس ا چیپٹر وچ ریلیٹس باب من لم یدع قول الزور والعمل به فی الصوم, دیٹ ریگارڈنگ دیٹ پرسن دیٹ ڈز ناٹ گیو اپ ایول اسپیچ اور ایکشن وائل فاسٹنگ, دیٹ واٹ از اٹ ریگارڈنگ دیٹ پرسن دیٹ فاسٹ but she cannot give up evil speech. So then he relates a hadith on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala an, who states that man lam yada' qawl az-zur wal 'amala bihi fa laysa lillahi hajatun fi an yada' ta'amahu wa sharabahu, that person that does not give up evil speech or evil actions, Allah is not in need of his fasting, of Allah is not in need of them leaving their food and their drink. What does he mean? It means that we still have to fast. But the muhaddithun rahimahullahu ta'ala relate here that the rewards of fasting are diminished. You know, all of this effort that we are making of fasting, and we cannot give up our evil speech, then the reality of it is, yes, we are doing a hukam of Allah, but we are also leaving out another hukam of Allah. Allah's order was to fast and we fasted. Allah's order was also to ensure that our speech stays intact. There is nothing evil coming out of it. Our actions stay intact. And this is why, in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates that it may be so that somebody comes to quarrel with you. One is a person quarreling himself and arguing themselves. But one is a person comes to quarrel with you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then relates that tell this person, I am fasting. Meaning it's an indication to say, I may have quarreled before. It may have been in my temperament to quarrel. And I would have carried on quarreling. But today, you will find that I am fasting, I am not going to get engaged in this. And it is so, the muhaddithun here relate, it may be so for this person, it's very difficult. Kuch logo ke liye hota hai, bahut mushkil. Koi kehta hai kuch, bolna lazmi. If somebody says something, we have to say something back. So the muhaddithun rahimahullah here relate, that say somebody says something to you, and you cannot help it, then go out the room. Walk out the room. And you still cannot help it, then go do wudu and pray 2 rakat salah. And you will find that once you have done this, the anger, the emotions, they will all be gone. And before all of this, as we know, if it's anger, then a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. But we have to start learning how to control our temperament. This is something that once upon a time was taught to children, how to control their anger, how to control their temperament. But we find that as adults, Allah forgive us, we are unable to control our emotions, our anger, our speech in the month of Ramadan. It should not be so that we are fasting and we are speaking evil also. It should not be so that we are fasting and we are doing evil actions also. Why? Because the purpose of Ramadan is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That your purpose of Ramadan is so that, why are we fasting? Why are we taking our time in the night to pray Taraweeh Salah? It's so that we are connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. That we become connected to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And this is why we are meant to keep this month. And we have said this time and time again. Keep this month for the worship of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And this is why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam here relates that رَبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامٍ إِلَّا رَجُوعٍ. That there are many people that fast, but they get from their fasting nothing إِلَّا رَجُوعٍ except for hunger. Meaning there's no reward in it. They get nothing from the fast except for hunger. And then, and this is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he, whilst he was walking and he was doing his rounds, he found a monk. And this monk was crying in the monastery. And he was worshipping his Lord. Then Umar radiallahu ta'ala an relates that Amiratun Nasibah. That you know this monk, if you look at his face, if you look at this monk, tiredness, worrisome, has depicted his life in the monastery. And he's given up everything for the monastery. But he relates that he will still go to Jahannam. And the reason why, he relates that he has not believed in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we learn is every action we do, we need it to put into the scale of what does Allah want and what does my Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want. And this is why the question is, what is God consciousness? What is taqwa? You know, we're fasting, we've started fasting. What does Allah want from us? Ask us this question. Ask ourselves, what does my Allah want from me from fasting? You know, when you take a job, they will ask, say to you, these are your responsibilities. Right? Usually you have three things in a contract. These are your responsibilities, this is your wage, this is your holidays. These are three things that you have. And you ask them, what is my responsibility? In the very same manner, we need to ask that we are responsible now to fast in the month of Ramadan. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. When you've witnessed this month, then you fast. What does Allah want from my fasting? Every single day of fasting, I should be asking myself that have I achieved God consciousness? That have I achieved even an iota of having taqwa? Now the question is, what is taqwa? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an Amirul Mu'mineen, he asked this question. He says, Ya Ka'b, he is asking Ka'b ibn Malik, that what is taqwa? Tell me what taqwa is. So Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an relates, O Amirul Mu'mineen, you know better than I, but taqwa, he relates, is when you walk from one place to another, and in that place or in that garden, there are thorns all over the place. There are thorns all over the place. And he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, how would you walk from one side to another? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala and relates that I will ensure that I put my clothes a bit up and I look very carefully where I am walking. He said, this would be the common sense thing to do. So Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala and says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is taqwa. This is taqwa. That when you're walking in the field of life, you look at every aspect you're doing, that is it within the commands of Allah and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it is, alhamdulillah, I have missed those thorns. But if it is not, then I have captured a thorn within myself. That is taqwa.
And this is why Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala relates that what do you get out of having taqwa? What is the anjam? What is the end conclusion of a person with taqwa? So Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala relates that on the day of Qiyamah, an announcer will announce, Ayn al-muttaqoon, that where are those that were God conscious? Where are those that were God conscious? So those people will then be told to stand, that had taqwa. And they will be, then we will be told that from the mercy of Allah, stand up and enter into Jannah. This is where taqwa takes us, that it takes us into Jannah. And this is why when we look at the lives of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, we find that in the deen of Allah, they gave everything to ensure that they followed the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. That was shown to them by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to attain taqwa, you know, when we think about taqwa, and we think about how do we attain taqwa, then in reality we should be looking at the lives of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Because Allah Azza wa Jal has told us, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah was pleased with them, they were pleased with Allah. That Allah was already pleased with them. That they have been given a tick box, as we can say. They have been given a tick for Jannah. So hence, when they accepted Islam, they gave up everything. With sabr, with patience, and with their hearts, they came into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is taqwa, first and foremost. For the month of Ramadan, first and foremost, is that we have an intention that I will have, number one, is I will ask tawbah from Allah. All the sins I have done from before, I ask Allah to forgive me. That's the first aspect. You know, just yesterday, one of the brothers was saying, and this is very interesting. He says, a person came for Hajj. And at the time of Hajj, he went to a scholar. And he said, give me one piece of advice. So the scholar said to him, that ask Allah to forgive all of your sins and make an intention that you will follow the commands of Allah. So the person says, let me think about this. He comes back the next day and he says, Sheikh, I only came for Hajj. I only came for Hajj. It's extra stuff. I didn't come for this. So this is the same amount that we are doing. I only came for Ramadan. I am only here because Allah has told me to fast. Number one is we need to say to ourselves that we need to ask Allah for forgiveness for the previous sins. And number two, make Ramadan that we can change our lives. Because if it's not, wallah, 20 Ramadans will go and everything's the same. It will become just the standard cultural aspect that we do. We fast, we go for Taraweeh, we have iftar, and next day comes. It should be so that we are able, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are able to ask Allah for forgiveness and make ourselves better every day that comes. And this is why, as we said, and I finish off with this, that think about this, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, they went through tough times. You know, one of the key aspects that we have, we are scared to go for any tough time. If I stop my job, X will happen. If I do this, X would happen. If I do this, X would happen. And all of this, if you think about it, is related to the dunya. Every single one of these aspects are related to the dunya. How can it be so? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that be the people of akhirah. It will be so that you might lose some of your dunya. But he goes, do not be the children of the dunya where you will lose your akhirah. Because what's happened at the moment is we have become children of dunya. And we are losing our akhirah. And in reality of it is, we have only sold it for a few gold coins. We have sold it just for a few gold coins. So this is why the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, it relates in relation to Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an. It states that Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an once was sitting with the tabi'een and some of the sahaba whilst Amirul Mu'mineen, and he found that Hazrat Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala an has come from an expedition, has come from Syria. So he put out his shawl and he put it on the floor. And he put it in the honor of Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala an. And he put it right next to himself. And he says that the person, the people asked, who is this for? So Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an says that this is for one of the greats, meaning Khabbab radiyallahu an. And when Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala an enters, he asks him to sit next to him. And he says to Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala an, that, Ya Khabbab, there is no one more deserving of this place other than you, except for Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala an. That's what he says, except for Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala an. So Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala an writes, Ya Amin al-Mu'mineen, wa ma huwa haqq minni. Then why is it so that he has more haqq? Why is it so that he has more right over me on this place? So then, Khabbab, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala says that it's because of the trials that Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala went through. Then Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, sometimes with the help of Allah, Bilal radiyallahu an was helped by other companions. Sometimes he was helped by other companions. And he says, for myself, Yani Khabbab, he says, I used to be put on the sun in the intense heat of Makkah al-Mukarramah with stones on my back. He says, by the qasam of Allah, other than the person that was persecuting me and myself, nobody else knew. And he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, and he takes off his shawl, he takes off his the blanket that he's wearing, and he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, look at the back of Khabbab. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu looks at this back and he starts weeping. And he says, by the qasam of Allah, I have never seen such a back in my life. I have never seen such a back in my life. What was all of this effort for? We can relate aspect after aspect. Think about this. And I finish off with this last story. Zubair ibn al-Awwam, one of the 10 that is guaranteed Jannah. One of the 10 that has been guaranteed Jannah. It relates when he accepted Islam. He was still a child. He wasn't very old. Maybe 13, 14. His uncle used to tie him upside down and put a blanket over him and put smoke underneath in the intense heat of Makkah al-Mukarramah and say to him, oh child, either you forsake Muhammad or you will be die like this. And he used to say, by the qasam of Allah, child, I will never forsake the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why all of these hardships? It is so that Islam was superiority, Islam came first. The reality of it is, we fast, we pray salah, but Islam is second that we have put. It is time that we need to understand, for our consciousness, for being and having taqwa within us, Islam has to come at the top. Everything else comes beneath this. And by the qasam of Allah, it doesn't mean if you put Islam at the top, that Allah will deprive you in this dunya. Allah will give you dunya and akhirah. May Allah give us ability to understand Abu Amr wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا على الصلاة Hayya ala salah. Hayya ala al-falah. Hayya ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.